William Morrow and Harper Audio present The Last Tale of the Flower Bride, a novel by Roshani Shakshi, performed by Steve West and Sarah Sue. For Aman, whom I would wear out iron shoes for, and for Niv, whose friendship is the rarest form of magic. Myths are but lies breathed through silver. C.S. Lewis.
Prologue. You warned me that knowing your secret would destroy us. At first, it sat in our marriage like a blue-lipped ghost, hardly noticeable until a trick of the light drew it into focus. But you could always tell the days when it gnawed at my thoughts. You tried to comfort me. You stroked my face and curled my fingers to your heart. You said, "If you pry, you'll destroy our marriage." But oh, my love, you lie. Chapter 1. The Bridegroom. Once upon a time, Indigo Maxwell Castaneda found me. I had been lost a long time and had grown comfortable in the dark. I didn't imagine anyone could lure me from it. But Indigo was one of those creatures that can hunt by scent alone, and the reek of my desperate wanting must have left a tantalizing, fluorescent trail. Before Indigo, I avoided places where money served as pageantry rather than payment. I clung to the opinion that they were loud and crass, the shabby but sturdy armor of a poor man. In those days, I was poor, but I had become rich in expertise, and it was in this capacity that I served as a visiting curator to l'Exposition des Femmes Monstrueuses. The exhibit had brought me to Paris on someone else's dime, and eventually, to the Hôtel de Castaneda. Once one of the royal apartments of Louis XIV and Marie Antoinette, the Hôtel de Castaneda now ranked among the finest hotels in the world. The vaulted ceiling, a restoration of the original, I was told, still showed indifferent, muscular gods reclining amidst gold-bellied clouds. Ivy lined the walls, through which the snarling faces of stone satyrs peered and panted at the guests. It was common knowledge that each of the Castaneda hotels centered on a fairy tale motif. I gathered this one was an homage to Gabrielle Suzanne Babot de Villeneuve's La Belle et la Bête, Beauty and the Beast, and while I hated to admit it, something about it seemed not of this world. It was so lovely I could almost ignore the crowd of models and DJs, red-faced businessmen, and whatever other brilliantly arrayed and ostensibly vapid creatures such beautiful places attracted.
"Sir?"
A slim, dark-skinned waitress appeared at my side. This was the second time she'd stopped by my table. I had chosen one near the back of the room, so I might keep an eye on the entrance.
"Are you sure I cannot get you anything?"
I glanced at the menu beside the haphazard collection of notes I'd prepared for the evening. The cocktail started at 50 euros. I smiled at the waitress, raised my half-filled glass of water, and then tapped the empty dish of complimentary spiced nuts. "Perhaps another of these?" I asked. "My guest must be running late." The waitress managed a brittle smile and walked away without another word. She probably thought I was lying about meeting someone. Even I couldn't quite believe my intended guest would deign to meet with me. After months of searching for the whereabouts of a 13th-century grimoire, I had traced it to the private collection of the Castaneda family. Initially, my requests to view the piece had gone unanswered. This was not surprising. I was well known only in academic circles as a Middle Ages historian with an interest in the preservation of incunabula. I had nothing to lose but time, so I wrote letter after letter.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?